Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, it's Rick. This is just a quick editor note to say the audio on this podcast isn't the best we've ever done. For some reason, it's a little bit echoey. We actually recorded it at Guy's house. We've never recorded in that room before. It's not the best. However, you should still be able to listen to it. We had some helping hand from a follower called Sam McIntosh. So big shout out to Sam, who actually edited this to get it to the level it's at. It was much worse, so he's managed to improve it. Either way, it's a really good podcast. We didn't want to record it again because I think the information we're saying it is so good. We'll be back next week with better audio again. But apart from that, sit back, enjoy the podcast. And this is episode, I think, 37 now of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Enjoy.
So welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields, and I'm here with producer Guy. And we're actually in a new location today. Because I'm having some work done at the house. We're actually here at Guy's house. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You kept your shoes on, which is the first unwritten rule in anyone's house. You bounced in with your Nike Air Max golf shoes on. That would care in the world, but I'll let you off.
I did ask and you said it's fine. But I must admit we've come onto a rug now. We're in a nice little orangery. Hopefully the sound is good. Hope everyone's doing well. We've got an action-packed podcast coming your way. We've got loads of great stories, we've got loads of great questions, and loads more information. We had a fun day yesterday. How good was it filming with Leo?
Leo Boniface, mark my words, has the potential to be a tour player.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. So, give you a bit of a backstory. Leo is a seven-year-old from south of London, and he has somewhat blown up in the last 6 months over on Instagram. He does tricks with his dad. He plays golf. He does loads of hole outs. Absolutely loves his golf. In fact, he loves his golf so much. On the side of his golf ball, it actually says, Leo Boniface loves golf. And I don't think I've seen that many people in my life that loves golf that much.
we met him yesterday morning. Was it about 9:30?
Yeah.
And did a full Puma outfit on. But the weird thing is for children, when they're dressed in golf gear, they look like just shrunken adults, don't they? Because it's all that proportion. Got the hat on, he got a polo shirt tucked into his pants, his belt went around his waist, I think, two and a half times it could fit him. And obviously, like you, I'd seen him on Instagram and I'd seen what he could do. And trick shots impress me when anyone does them. But there's also that thing where you almost think, well, it's good, but you've done it 100 times to get the one perfect shot. But in real life, I honestly couldn't believe how good he actually is. He was lobbing it over your head literally every single time with no fear. His only bad shot he would hit was a little bit heavy, but still it would go over your head by a mile.
So that gives you a little teaser into the video that we filmed with him. So we filmed the video to come into YouTube and Facebook very soon. In fact, maybe this week. Because actually we're a bit low on content at the moment, so it's coming out this week. That's in edit at the moment. And the premise of the story, I invited him to Manchester to come and play some golf, to make a cool video, to have a little challenge, but also to try some of these tricks. And like Guy said, I'll be honest, right now, there is not many people on the planet that I would trust within 10 minutes of meeting them to be hitting golf balls over my head.
Real golf balls as well.
Real golf balls. And he's 7 foot. He's seven year old, probably four foot tall. I'm 6 foot. And he was just literally with his 56 degree cut down wedge, opening the face up to flat as a pancake, swinging full speed. And wait till you see the video, how close I ended up standing to him. And he was still comfortably
easily
hitting it over my head.
And also, to put his golfing ability into some perspective, we don't want to ruin the video too much, but it should be out in the next couple of days anyway. Maybe when you listen to this podcast, it actually already is out, depending on when you listen to it, obviously. But he is 7 years old, as Rick said. He's a 19 handicapper. And honestly now, and this isn't just... I know it's easy sometimes with children to kind of big up their ability or to make them feel good, but truthfully now, he would beat 95% of golf club members in a chipping comp. No questions asked. He is genuinely that good.
Yeah. And even out on the golf course, yeah, he is unbelievable at chipping, actually. We went out on the golf course and played some holes, and sometimes you think, okay, 19 handicap, but how short's the golf course that you're playing off? He played off the red tees, granted, obviously, the forward tees, and he absolutely killed it. I mean, we had a little challenge match. He really impressed me. And the last hole that we did as well, you have to wait to watch this, we actually swapped golf clubs. So me and him swapped golf clubs. I used his little tiny ones, which were actually really cool. And he used my full-sized golf clubs, and he absolutely loved it. He's obsessed with two things.
Two things that we resonate with massively.
Massively.
The first one is...
flop shots.
Flop shots.
He loves hitting flop shots, which again, as any kid growing up playing golf, that was the one shot you're just obsessed with. Why is that?
I think it's because you can be creative, and once you know how to do it, it's quite easy. We get the result is almost like jaw-dropping.
Staggering.
But the only thing that worried me and upset me yesterday is when you were filming with him, I had a few little messabouts with his club and then with your own club. My lob shot ability, my confidence has massively dropped.
Oh.
Watching him yesterday, because I've never been a junior, and people saying to me like, oh, you juniors have no fear and all this stuff. And I didn't really understand what they meant. Now I'm touching 30 and I'm watching a 7-year-old child lobbing it over your head from several feet away with ease, shot after shot after shot. He literally had no fear.
Zero fear.
What's his second thing that he loves?
And again, I massively resonate with this. As a junior golfer growing up, this was something I was obsessed with. And I still am now, if I'm honest.
The old BS.
Backspin. I mean, he is obsessed. If he asked me once, he asked me 1,000 times yesterday, how do I get backspin?
Yeah, get some backspin for me.
And he was 5 yards off the green and asking me, how do I get it to spin backwards? It's like,
yeah,
it's actually impossible.
As good as his golfing ability is and as good as he's going to get, I don't think he's quite old enough to comprehend that you're not going to get backspin from a 4-yard, 5-yard chip just yet.
No, but I respect what he's trying to do. And like I say, really cool. His dad's amazed. How cool is his dad?
Well, that's what I was going to say, actually. Not annoyingly, but because we were so busy yesterday, we didn't get a chance to speak to his dad after the filming. But I think a podcast with his dad in the future would be really good, because Leo's not quite old enough yet, although he's got great charisma and he can really chat to grown-ups. But he's not quite old enough maybe to do a podcast just yet. But his dad and his story of how he wants to improve his son. And I kind of picked his brains a little bit about how do you balance, because he's not a pushy parent from what we saw in any way, shape or form, but how do you balance encouragement with not getting too invested when he hits a bad shot and stuff. And he seems really balanced. His dad really switched on bloke. So I think that could be a podcast maybe in a couple of months to catch up with Lester, his father, see how he's getting on and the trials and the tribulations and all that of having potentially a prodigy on your hands, really.
I think if we did it by the side of a putting green and chipping green, Leo would be occupied for an hour and a half and we could pick the brains of Lester. But yeah, he was amazing. And like I say, I think what I respected again, he was asking us as many questions as we were asking him about how he's managing it, because at the moment it's still new to him. He doesn't know quite how to manage it. He's doing his best. I saw a few things that I really respected yesterday. He lets Leo pick his own clubs. You know, if he's got a shot, he'll say to Leo, right, how far are you? 50 yards. What club do you want to hit? And Leo chooses the clubs.
Yeah.
And Lester sometimes knows it's the wrong club, but still lets him hit it because he wants Leo to make his own mistakes, which I think is amazing. Again, a lot of parents could learn a lot from that. I've been around pushy parents in golf. I've been around when I used to coach junior golfers and the parents would literally be like, on the kid's shoulder. It was too intense and the kids just didn't enjoy it. Often I used to say to the parents, go and get a coffee, go away. Yeah, like, just leave me with him. Let me have fun with him. Let me get him to play better golf and enjoy it, as opposed to you being on his shoulder.
There's a few examples where I think pushy parents have been successful, obviously Tiger and Earl Woods is the obvious one. I think you've also got the Serena and Venus Williams' father, I think, was notoriously quite pushy. And another one, a bit of a different industry, but I think Beyonce, the singer, her father was quite like that. So
Hamilton's...
I'm not sure. I think his dad was a driver.
Yeah.
But there's that balance. I think if you had a seven-year-old with that ability, it would be hard not to get super excited. But... And it sounds, I can't imagine this, seeing Leo and how positive he is with his golf, how much he loves it, but he could, at the age of 10, just fall in love with it.
Yeah.
It's possible. But what baffled me last night when I got home, I was thinking to myself, he's that good now. He's 19 handicapper from the forward tees. Put him on the back, because I think he could still comfortably be off 28, so I don't know.
Do you reckon he could break 100?
I think he could.
I do.
So he's seven. He's not a big seven, not some big tall kid. He's a normal size seven-year-old.
Hits his driver maybe 150 yards once it's rolled out.
It's at 150, and it's 3-wood at 130. So if he hits driver, 3-wood, 3-wood, he can get to a hole that's 410 yards. Two putts, which he will do every time. He's got a bogey.
Let me blow everybody's mind listening. He can also hit fades and draws.
He can hit fades. And I saw him hit a fade. He had this little hybrid into the green. I think you were... Were you off the...
I was slightly to the right of his shot, but you were almost up behind him.
I was slightly behind him. And I watched, and his feet really open to target, which I didn't obviously think much of because he just hit a shot at me. He's a young kid. And then he hit this, like, quite semi-bullet, but faded 3-wood. And I thought, that's literally followed the exact line of the fairway. He's gone left this bunker, faded it round. I thought, surely he's not done that intentionally. Well, the next note is saying, oh yeah, I can play draws and fades. I faded that last one. I was like, and his dad said, oh, I'm not sure if I quite believe him yet. I said to his dad, truthfully, I watched him on that hole, hit a fade, feet left of target, club face a little bit close to target, and he kind of cut across it and he faded it perfectly. It was a textbook fade. His dad was like, oh, what did he? But he's got 10 years before he's even 17. Imagine if he plays this much in the next 10 years, how good he would be at 17. Again, without any pressure on him, but he's a potential star.
There is. And what's crazy, he went to the World Championships last year, which, by the way, I didn't realise how much that cost. Bless, like, so much cost goes into it behind the scenes. He's not the best there. Like, there are better kids, which, again, just blows my mind. Like, I think, at that age, seven-year-old, and, like, you know, I know there's clips of, like, Charlie Woods, so Tiger Woods' son, who's 11, who looks pretty awesome, by the way. Obviously, that's Tiger Woods. He's going to be. It's continuing that motivation, that excitement, that energy into, like you say, the teens, and when they get to 15, 16, when they start to play, not professional, but serious amateur tournaments, are they still going to love it as much as they do now, flopping the shot around the putting green?
Yeah.
I just don't want... That's a shame that element sometimes gets lost.
The fun, pure fun.
I'd actually love to see... I mean, does it though? Because I bet Tiger and Phil and all those guys.
It's funny if you win it.
Yeah, he's making lots of money. Like, do they just want to stand there, putting green and chipping green, and just hit flop shots and backspins all day?
Sorry, I thought that I was looking outside then because I thought the window cleaner was here, so I don't have to stop the podcast. But I don't think it was. No, I don't know. I think I can't imagine Tiger would have necessarily the same fun that Leo just playing lob shots. But I bet when you are so good at golf, like a Tiger or something, it would be fun to practice. Sorry, the mic's a bit dodgy today. Mick's mic's making a noise thing. It would still be fun to practice so much, because if you are that good at golf, surely hitting golf balls is more fun than when you're rubbish.
Yeah. No, I'd agree. So, yeah.
That's my wisdom for the day.
Hitting better shots is more fun. So yeah, keep an eye out for that for Leo. Make sure you follow on Instagram. I posted yesterday and he gained over 1,000 new followers, including Paul Scholes. Nice. Followed him. And it's just funny, Paul Scholes was down at the golf club yesterday, and Lester, his dad, was a massive United fan, and he wanted a picture, and Leo got a picture, and Leo said to me later, who was that? He had no idea that he just had a picture with one of the greatest England footballers ever to live. But yeah, that was fun.
Speaking of Instagram though, Rick, Leo Boniface is now clearly my favourite Instagram account to follow.
Who's your second?
My second is Rick Shields PGA.
Who's your third?
My third, and arguably on the rise, my third favourite, but could comfortably become my first favourite in the next week or so, is actually the Rick Shields Golf Show.
There you go. So make sure you give it a follow. We're still posting more on there. we've picked the listener of the week from somebody who shared the story today.
We have indeed.
So I'll let you move into that when you feel you're ready to do so.
We'll leave the people waiting for that, because we know it's one of the best segments of the show. But what we have got, a regular set, we've actually got, so I don't think today's episode will be as good as John Robbins last week, because that went down well.
That was really good. Oh, by the way, we need to fill everyone in of the controversy.
Oh, okay, I'll let you do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy
talking. Okay, we'll do that a little bit. So that last week, I would say on reflection, was a solid 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd agree.
John adds that little bit of spice, that little bit of relatability.
Bit of humour.
He talks well. And listening back to the podcast, he sounds better than certainly I do on the podcast. But he is a broadcaster, so...
He's a radio host.
Give me 5 years, John Robbins. I'm better than you. But today's episode is more of a casual one. Chilling out. We've both got a bottle of water. I asked Rick, did he want room temperature or chilled with room temperature? But we have got loads of emails, loads of good Facebook questions as well, which I sent them to Rick last night so we can get swatted up and come at you with his most articulated answer. But first, it's time for a good nightmare golf shot, an NGS.
Go for it.
So I had a little look last night, and actually, recently, we've been getting loads and loads and loads. That was... I think three loads is of emails, which is absolutely class. We do love getting emails. We do try and reply to as many as we can, but it is obviously difficult. But please send them in, because we might not read it out for 3, 4, 5 weeks, but we always need the content there. So this one is just called Nightmare Golf, the title was, and it's from Martin Dudley. It's Hi Guy and Rick. So straight away I was thinking, I like Martin Dudley. I'm a few episodes behind on the podcast, but catching up fairly quickly. But I need to share my nightmare golf shot / hole, as it happened a few years ago, and I always remember it as one of my worst holes ever. So straight away you're thinking, I mean, that's how you get my attention. He's put Guy and Rick, massive tick, and he's got a little opening paragraph that's getting, it's got my juices flowing. So last night when I was doing a bit of producing, as I should do for the podcast, I was lay on the bed, scrolling on the phone, and I was looking at this one thinking, this should be a good one, so let me continue. I was playing in the medal at my local golf course, and it was going really well. I was 2 under my handicap at the 17. Now, stood on the 18th tee, it was a drivable par 4 at about 280 yards. Out of bounds, all down the left, and all deep rough to the right. As I've been hitting the driver really well all day, I thought this was the best opportunity to go for a birdie. So I was thinking, that's a good shout, because it's very easy in that situation to go, right, I'm playing well, I'm 2 under my handicap, I'm going to hit a 5 out of the tee. But actually, if you're hitting your driver well, it's the best club in your bag.
Exactly.
You use it. So I think that's...
Hit the club you're comfortable with.
I respected that.
I feel like it's going to bite him in the...
You know these stories too well, Rick. Step up on the tee, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a snap hook straight out of bounds.
Ouch.
Yes. So I walk back to my bag to re-tee, snap hook again out of bounds.
I understand why you've picked this story.
It's so relatable to me. It pains me to read it. So I repeat the process, and another ball out.
I feel like you've sent him a bunch of flowers.
I know how you feel, mate. Bang, snap hook again. So now I'm on the tee to take my 7th shot.
Ouch.
So as that wasn't working, I took out my 5-iron, and I was gone for the 5-iron route, which you understand, just to put it on the fairway. Hit the ball so clean, it flew down the middle of the fairway, but in the process, the club head snapped and then went as far as the ball.
Oh my God.
So things aren't going bad, and I'm going bad to work.
I feel like this is somewhat karma for what you've done wrong that day.
Then... I should proceed to take my 8th shot. I thinned it so bad from 90 yards, it went over the clubhouse and out of bounds. At this point, with people in the clubhouse watching, I just wanted to walk off and go home. But I carried on and dropped the ball for my 10th shot to then fat it the greenside bunker up against the lip. Then I try and hit it out of the bunker, to which it hits the lip and stays in. So now I'm hitting my 12th shot. Finally managed to put it on the green, but about 20 foot away. At this point, my fellow playing partners didn't know whether to laugh at the situation or cry. I rolled my putt about 5 foot past the hole and then ended up with a 14 on the last hole after having an incredible 17 holes prior. I was more annoyed about my club snapping than getting a 14 as I hit it really well. It was a great shot. I learned the lesson in future competitions, and instead of going for glory, just put an iron down the fairway.
Literally.
Literally.
An iron down the fairway. golf, bloody annoying.
The only slight positive is if it was, well, if it's Stableford, he still would have had 36 points.
Yeah, he would have played well.
And even for his handicap, I imagine he would have got Stableford adjustment, so he wouldn't have gone up 0.1. Now I'm clutching at straws there, and I'm saying that's the positives. 14 on the last hole.
I love that. Oh, it's just me, isn't it? How would you guide? I don't know. I don't think he did anything wrong there, as you mentioned. He's hit driver great all day. Yeah. He stood on the 18th hole. He wants to hit driver. He wants to capitalise on his confidence, etc. He's hit three snap hooks, which is nothing like what he's hit all day. He's done it at 5-iron. The head snapped. Oh, God. And then, like I said, he gets in the bunker and comes off with a 14.
Yeah, so...
Welcome to golf.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, from a card, I would be interested to hear. My opinion would be, as I said, hit driver because you've hit it well all day. As a coach, what do you do? That is it the right thing?
Yeah, I do. Honestly, I genuinely believe you should hit the club you're confident with. If he's hit driver well all day, he would have kicked himself if he'd taken out a 4-iron or a 5-iron that he might not have hit that much all day and hit it badly. Yeah. Like, and also, if you're having a good round together, you might want to capitalise on it. You might want to shoot the best round you've ever had, you know. I don't think he's done anything wrong there. Obviously, there's some either demons in his head, or he's not gone through his pre-shot routine, or he stood over the ball thinking of other factors rather than just putting it into play. He might have been thinking about writing his winner's speech, driving home that night, telling the missus that he shot his best round ever, cracking open the champagne, writing his winner's speech, getting ready to go to trophy night and picking up his trophy, thinking he might need a new tux and it might make the local newspaper. Like, a lot of that might be going through his head, yeah, instead of actually going, right, what's been my process all day? Well, I've had three practice swings. I've visualised my shot. I've hit this, whatever. I've teed it up this high. I've used my lucky tee. You know, a process, it sounds like that might have collapsed on him a little bit because it happened three times in a row. Or there's just massive fundamental mistakes in his golf swing there, and they've actually just reared their ugly head when he least wanted them to appear.
On the plus side, he's got his email read out on UK's number one golf podcast.
Well, there you go. So, if that's not consolation, I don't know what it is. And like I say, send your address and Guy will send you some flowers as just a fellow snap hooker to another one.
Yes. Well, there was two of us in this orangery.
There is.
So we fire through some of these Facebook questions.
I'm actually going to take my shoes off now.
Yeah, feel free. So, as always, if I read the person's first name and surname out, it's because I feel confident reading the surname. If I just say the first name, it's because I can't quite read it. But the first one, Rick, was from Matt Herman. What do you guys carry in the bag? I don't mean club-wise, but maybe a top 5 or 10 accessories you couldn't go to a course without. So I quite like that question. I'm not going to 5 or 10 person, but let's just maybe give them a couple each, or something that you've got sneaky in the bag, or...
Well, currently now, in these testing times, you might have seen it on the famous TikTok video that I released. I now have a plastic rake in my bag,
yeah,
which I didn't think I would have. I got it from my friend Scotty Carey up in Scotland when I went up there to play with him at Trump International. It attaches to the end of the club and you can rake the bunker. It's more to rake it so it looks good for filming. I don't know if I played normal golf, would I bother raking it ready for the next person? I probably should do, yeah. But... So that's something new I have in the bag. What else do I have in the back that's quite different? Batteries.
Batteries. Ferrix toys.
Yeah.
Say no more.
I don't know. Yeah. Is that a bit boring with that?
No, I think for me, I've got my Garmin Z80 Approach.
Sorry, I should have been plugging the sponsors really, shouldn't I? Of course I have my Garmin Approach G80 and
you've got a
Z82 and a 62 watch, just in case I definitely need to know how far I'm away from the hole.
No, I do like to have, obviously it depends on whatever you use, but some kind of distance device stuff definitely helps. I think for me, it sounds obvious, but I like to have obviously enough balls, clearly. I like to have copious amounts of tees. I'm one of those people that, my brother a little while ago bought these massive bags, I think 1,000 tees, and because I've given him loads over the years, he gave me a big, massive, proper, just standard white tees, just normal, long, normal length. Yeah. So I like to have loads in my bag, and I always have about 5 or 6 in my pocket when I'm playing. I don't have to have that many. If I run out, then I'll kind of replenish my pocket. I've got, actually, weirdly, I don't know if you remember, you gave me a Masters ball, Mark, when you went to the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
Got that in my bag, and I've also got a Liverpool Football Club one. But what I like about the Liverpool one is, one side's red and one side's black. So I'm not that into doing this, but I've tried to do it safe and mark red side normally because it's red for Liverpool. Then you ask me to move a marker in your way, I put it to black side,
Okay.
Then when they got to replace my ball, I won't forget.
Oh, that's quite clever.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, that's really clever. I thought you were going to tell me, like, you mark it red if it's a birdie putt. And
no, that's
and black
no,
if it's
just,
like a par putt.
It's just because if you look, if your ball marker's red every time and you go, it's black, you think, why's my ball marker black? Think, oh, that's because I need to move it back.
That's really clever, actually. There you go.
Other than that, I'm pretty.
I think for me, I swap bags too often, typically.
Yeah.
I swap clubs too often. I swap, you know, I'm. A lot of time I've got my golf bag out on the golf course, it's for filming, so I have loads of Titleist Pro V1 practice golf balls in there. I try and have enough tee pegs. I do all right with tee pegs, to be fair. I don't like buying tee pegs, so I try and pinch them when I can when I go to like fancy places.
Sometimes Rick walks into American Golf and just comes out and just pinches three bags of tees.
I think it's my right. I think I should be able to. As the number one podcast in the UK, should be able to go in there and just... I should get free tees.
The only time I got a bit concerned was when you walked out with a TS3 down your pant pocket. It's like, why are you coming out with a driver? I shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to pay for anything. No, I'm joking. But tee pegs do hurt. I don't like paying for tee pegs. I'll be honest, I don't really pay for anything in golf. But tee pegs, I should buy tee pegs, but I don't know what it
honestly,
is.
Honestly, eBay, I know it's a bit of a pain, order a massive bag and it lasts forever. You know who would be the best person for this? Actually, like, message him afterwards. Rob Potter, because I reckon he has got the kitchen sink in his golf bag.
He will have... But he'll have everything personalised.
Oh, yeah.
So we played golf with Rob last week. You might have heard on the podcast. He even had... Did he use it? But I have seen it.
His face mask.
A face mask personalised with Rob Potter Golf.
Yeah.
I mean...
On brand?
He's unbelievable, that guy.
So Tom has sent a Facebook message. Sorry as well, if you're wondering where these Facebook messages are coming from, they're coming from the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group. Join. It's free to do so. It's got loads of like-minded individuals in there.
Some people even listen to the podcast.
They do. So this is a question that I think he's just got something... He's not quite interpreted it correctly, but I'll let you answer this. Why are the pros so keen on getting the ball past the flag and then getting the ball to spin towards the hole rather than aiming short and letting it run towards the hole when backswing is so predictable? Is it all for show?
Oh, I must admit, I do believe there's two things. I think... You see on TV more of the shots that land past the flag and spin back,
yeah.
Typically. Highlight reels and super shots and all that. And I think the ones that maybe go viral on Instagram and whatever
and spinners.
Are the ones that have the spin. But I honestly think if you actually watched golf from the base of watching golf, a lot of the time they're not putting ridiculous amounts of spin on. So that's one take on it. Going back to why people do it, I think there's a couple of reasons. The golf ball... will spin a lot. The cover of a golf ball often spins. That gives the player control. They can change the flight. They can change the shape of the golf shot. And often actually landing it in the green, they do want a bit of the ball to stop fairly quickly. The other factor is greens. So the greens that often these tour players play on are fast. So that definitely helps with the spin. Often they're receptive as well. You didn't see that in where they played last week in just outside Chicago. In the latest playoff, the greens were rock hard. You saw no backspin at the golf course there. But if the greens are soft, like the European Tour are playing at Valderrama this week, the greens are normally ridiculously fast there. If they've had a bit of rainfall or watered the greens to make them nice and lush and green, they're a little bit more receptive. You mix that in with club technology, so grooves on golf club create spin, the softer ball. And then they'll often, again, you'll see on tour, they'll put pins in locations that are hard to access. So sometimes the pin is very much at the front of the green with bunkers or water at the front. And really, sometimes the only option is to actually fly it beyond the flag, either use the contours to get it back towards the hole or, you know, creating that spin. So there's lots that go into it. But I would honestly say not every single time is a golfer, tour pro, trying to make the ball spin backwards. It just sometimes it's the most effective way to get the ball closer to the hole.
Yeah. The only thing I'd add to that, you basically cover everything, is the fact that it's not actually a lot of the time the players are wanting spin. So the fact that they hit it that hard and how much balls when they get spins, yeah. You have to allow for it. And also, now that the golf's in it that far, they're approaching so many greens with a mid-iron or less that those clubs spin a lot. If you ever watch them going for a par 5 in 2 and hitting a 3, then clearly the land it's showing it rolls on. So it's partly hit it so far, so yeah. Much speed, it just spin. Like, what does your wedge spin at? Like 11,000 RPM.
Yeah, yeah. So like,
so it's going to spin backwards.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, spin, the way a ball is designed, the way aerodynamically moves through the air, it needs and requires backspin. Even a driver shot requires backspin. So the way that the ball, and again, soft covered golf balls, players won't feel around the green, soft covered golf balls will typically spin more. So yeah, there's lots of contributions to it, lots of reasons why, but I will honestly, next time you watch professional golf, not every single player is trying to spin it back like crazy. And also shots out of the rough and things like that, players don't get as much spin out the rough. So it totally depends.
Mark Clifford asks, what's next for the Rick Shields brand? Now you've got the most popular golf podcast. Thanks, Mark. A million subs and a successful coaching business. Where next?
Ooh, great question. It's to continue to innovate and evolve. I think the thing that we've always been really excited to do, certainly when Guy joined the team 3 years ago, was to continue to evolve and to make the best content and to also still provide an amazing service which entertains and educates golfers around the world. So obviously milestones are great to hit. Even just recently, yesterday, we hit 100,000 Twitter followers, which has obviously taken 10 years to achieve.
Yeah.
But the reason why we've done that is because we've actually now started to focus our attention more on Twitter, asking really important questions, getting a better engagement level. So with regards to growth, it's continuing on the trajectory that we're going for. There's always new and exciting things around the corner. I have got long-term ambitions to where the channel wants to be and everything else. But at the moment, it's just continuing to evolve and make the best content that you guys just love. And like I say, anytime a new social media comes out, we try and jump on that, try and evolve our platform for that social media, and even doing the podcast. I mean, we only started this end of last year and we've absolutely been loving it. This is episode number 37, I think. And it's again evolving that, bringing new people into it. We've got some really cool collaborations coming up. We should have had more collaborations the last month, but annoyingly, because of weather, we've had to cancel a few. John Robbins last week, we were going to film, but we didn't get a chance, but we want to do one again in the future. So yeah, it's evolving.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The content and continuing to provide good content. Have you got anything to add to that, Guy?
No, but you covered a lot very well. You half sounded like them you knew you were talking about, right? So Daniel Shuttlewood has asked a question to me, actually, and it's an important one. He said, hi, Guy. Will you make a video?
I guess it's about driving.
Yeah, will you make a video how to outdrive Rick? So in answer to your question, Daniel, I'm not going to do that, but what I will do is give you some really simple tips that everyone listening can do. So if you want to outdrive Rick, you've got to run 3 to 4 5K runs a week at a medium pace, right? It doesn't have to be too strenuous. Let's go for 25, 26, 27 minutes, okay? You need to have one can of sugar-free Monster per day. No more than that. I've realised I had a problem. But one a day keeps the doctor away, as they say. That was a lot of rhyming.
Yeah.
And the final trick to outdriving Rick, what could it be?
I don't know, 130 miles per hour club, I think.
Yeah, I have a bit of speed as well. You know, kind of teach that. But anyway, Daniel, good luck with that, mate. Try and get to my speed. No, I'm joking. Oh, this is quite a good one, actually. It's from RJ. Is it True, his name is, I think. But anyway, it says, I've seen this quite a lot last night. If you had to get rid of one club from your bag for good and never replace it with a different club, what would it be and why? So I think he means, for example, get rid of your driver. You can never have a driver again.
Okay.
Get rid of your putter. Obviously, you can never have a putter again.
And this is a weird one for me. I'd probably get rid of my 3-wood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as I love my 3-wood and it's the longest serving club in my bag, it's probably my longest serving club in my bag because I never use it.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't need swapping to hit it very
often. Yeah. If it was a club I used a lot, I would have probably been tempted to swap it for something else, but I hardly ever use it. It does what I need it to do when I use it to some degree. And because I don't use it that often, I would possibly get rid of that.
Very good. Yeah, for me, possibly would be 3-wood, but the only reason I wouldn't do is because my driving is so bad. I do find it in the 3-wood quite well, which shouldn't really make too much sense. I think it's just a shorter shaft, a bit more loft. It's just a confidence thing. For me, I get rid of a 4-iron.
Just don't use it.
Just don't use a 4-iron. I feel like a 4-iron's a weird club because if I'm hitting off a tee, I'd use a 2-iron if I want to hit, you know, like a safe shot. You know, there's not that many long par 3s which can be 4-iron. And then it's like, into a green, again, it's going to be a long par 4. I'm really trying to smash a 5 or hit a soft 3. I just think a 4-iron's one of them. Like, you would never get rid of a 7-iron, clearly, because you've got shots of a 7-iron distance. But I think 4-iron, for me, could actually go.
Yeah. I think we've discussed it as well. I think what I need to do next, because I have a gap between my, I don't have a 3-iron, basically, so I have a 2-iron and a 4-iron. I think I'm going to get a different 2-iron, maybe like a 3-iron, but slightly stronger. Because again, I use my 2-iron nicely, but I think it gets too close to my 3-wood,
yeah.
Which then again probably stops me from using my 3-wood too much.
Yeah. We have a lighter one from Ian Jacobs. What's your favourite takeaway food?
I'm just trying to think now. If someone literally said, you can only have one takeaway for the rest of the year, what would I choose? I'd probably go Indian.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that the right answer?
I think it is the right answer. I'm not a massive Chinese fan. I like a pizza, but equally, I can buy one from Tesco for £4 and lash it in the oven. It's the same kind of vibe. Indian is just... The only thing with Indian is, I don't actually do the night. I very rarely have an Indian. Sorry that you're into a golf podcast, but it's also take away food. But I had an Indian the other day, the first time in like 2 or 3 months, I think it is. And I really looked forward to it and I enjoyed it. But after about 5 mouthfuls, I get really full.
I do.
So it's kind of like the excitement's always better than the actual.
Oh, way better. Picking it up, yeah. Getting the poppadoms, having a cheeky pint in the Indian before you pay, and it's probably not something you do. I always tell my wife she doesn't listen to the podcast, luckily. My mum started listening though.
Oh, she
said she really enjoyed it last week.
Did she really?
Yeah.
She liked me?
She did. Yeah. She said that guy I had on the podcast was really good. What's he called? John.
Hey.
she only listened to one episode so far. And then she rang me in length, and we probably spoke for the longest time we've probably ever spoken on the phone in the last year, and it was about the podcast.
He's good, though, isn't
it? Yeah, I'll always tell the missus that, oh, yeah, they said half an hour, and I'll go like at half an hour, knowing full well it's not ready yet. And I'll say to them, is it ready? And they'll go, yeah, it's ready. I'll just keep it 5 minutes. I'll have a pint.
That's just Rick. You drove to the Indian, but you came back in a taxi and staggered out.
No, I'm ready. Wasn't ready. Yeah. They just kept giving. And I always tell her, if she does say, have you had a beer? I say, oh, yeah, they threw it in with the meal. It's not a paid for it. But anyway, I'm sure a lot of other like-minded Indian picker-uppers do the same.
So I think that is probably it for the Facebook questions. There were some other really good ones, but I think it's only fair we answer a couple that we have emailed in as well, because we do appreciate the emails. And this is a really good one. I want to hear your take on, Rick.
Go for it.
And then should we come on to your little story?
I'm desperate to come on to that.
Let's just do this.
I think everyone listening needs a conclusion to the cheating scandal from last week.
Right, so this is from Phil Vidler, and the reason that he got my attention again was the title. So it said, podcast question, are my balls okay? So he knew what he was doing. He says, love everything you're doing, so please keep it up.
I love how you opened that straight away in the email.
Oh, yeah.
Like, are my balls okay? You're like, I need a bit of this.
I need to know if Phil's balls are okay. I didn't see an option to post questions on the podcast Instagram, so thought I'd email instead. Well, that's fine. You can just hit the little button that says email and come straight through, which I think he's done. I have a question on when's the right time to swap to a premium ball? I joined a golf club for the first time in 10 years at the start of lockdown, and I've managed to get my hand again from 28 to 18 in the last few months, with a single digit being the target. Very well done, Phil. Based on reviews and Rick's comments, I currently use the Strixon AD333, and on average lives between 0 and 2 balls around. At what handicap do you think it makes enough difference to step up to a Pro V1 or other premium balls?
It's a great question. This is something I heard from Titleist, the brand. So I went on a ball fitting exercise a few years ago, and they said every player in the world should use Pro V1 or Pro V1X. So they think that ball is that good that every player in the world would benefit from using that ball. So I said, okay, well, why'd you make the other balls? Then they said, well, not everybody wants to pay premium price for a Pro V1. They lose too many golf balls around, whatever it may be. So we have other options that have different materials or whatever it be that still perform well, but from a different price point. So if I follow that idea, Phil? So if Phil thought his golf was improving, he's now only losing 0 to 2 balls around, which is very precise. And he doesn't mind spending, because that's going to cost him between £0 and £7 around on golf balls. If he doesn't mind losing that, then it's worth stepping up to a Pro V1. However, if he wants to lose 2 balls around and that only costs him £4, let's say, he should continue to do that. So I think it's an interesting one. I do believe premium golf balls ideally should be used because they are a better material, more research goes into them, etc. But again, it goes back to the idea, if you don't mind spending money on a golf ball, and because you 2's not too bad, I think I would probably do it off 2 balls. If you said I'm losing 5 balls around, then no way should you be using Pro V1s, really.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think I've said this little anecdote before on the podcast, but obviously I prefer to use like a Pro V1 or a TP5 or ZSI. You know, the premium ball for many of the big brands is what I would use and what I feel like I should use off the handicap I played to, whatever. But Abby, I think, again, I've said this before, Abby's mum, about 2 years ago, gave me 2 dozen, I think it was DT Solo Titleists or PTS Solo, whatever they're called. They're like the mid-range. I don't even know if they still make them now, the mid-range balls. I think weirdly she got them because a person from her work was leaving and he had some balls in his desk. He wasn't a big golfer and she said, does anyone want these golf balls? A bit of a weird story, but whatever. They ended up in my possession, 2 dozen balls. Now, obviously, I was grateful, but I thought, I'm not really going to use these. But one day, I went out with my friends at my old course and used these balls and actually had the best round I've probably ever shot at that course. Shot 300 par gross, playing with a DT Solo. And it got me thinking, it's like, it didn't feel as good as a Pro V1. Didn't feel good off the putter. But yeah, the proof's in the pudding. So it's part of it is snobbery, and I admit I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to golf balls.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's very much snobbery. And like you say, I think we've used this analogy a little bit as well. If you turn up to a golf day and you got a nice little goodie bag and there was 3 golf balls in the bag, you want them to be Pro V1.
100%. That's like, what you go and text a friend. I'd almost text a friend and say, got 3 Pro V's today.
Yeah. Like, and that's why, like, even when we did the YouTube golf day last year, like, it was a main thing for me. I wanted every player to play in it and open the goodie bag and there'd be 3 Pro V1s in there. Yeah. In fact, there was 6.
There was 3 with the Golf Bay logo and your prostate cancer logo.
There you go. I think we spent too much on that. but yeah, like that's a sign of, yeah, this is the best golf ball in golf. And it like I say, I think there are different golf balls now. You might have seen the video I did recently, the Vice golf ball. What a golf ball. Like, really good. I like the branding. I think it's very cool. I didn't think the performance would be as good as it was, and it was. And I'm very impressed. And they're, £30 a dozen. it is a minefield to some degree. And I'd love to answer your question with one definitive option, Phil. But I think as long as you feel comfortable, if you're losing two balls around, if you're going to be comfortable losing £7 around because you think that ball feels better, looks better, gives you the confidence that you want to play better golf, go for it. However, if there are other options out there that's cheaper, I would also look at those options. Not everything has to be premium and not everything has to be on performance.
Very, very true. Right then, Rick, the floor is yours.
Wow. Well, where do we start?
I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the ride.
Here. Right. So last week, you'd have heard the podcast where me, John, Guy, Rob Potter, played in a charity golf day at a local golf club just up the road here from Guy, Berrington Hall. And
just a sec, we can't name any names. That's, I don't know if you know any of the names, but no names need to be mentioned.
Oh, I was going to... No?
You actually...
The legal reasons.
Yeah, that's just...
I was going to do. I think it's scandalous.
Yeah.
So we played in a really good charity golf day organised by Robbie Chisnell, who used to be Carly Booth's caddy for and in honour of Chris Crabtree. So Carberry. And, you know, amazing the fact that he ran a charity golf day to raise money. We entered the team. I put a prize up for nearest pin. You know, really good. And like I say, we played nicely, 91 points. And you might have heard on the podcast last week, we were licking our wounds a little bit because we lost by 21 points.
Yeah, and just to clarify, we weren't licking our wounds because we lost. We happily would lose, as strange as that sounds. But it was the number that we lost by...
By 21 points.
Yeah, I know it sounds silly. Let's just imagine it was singles. Let's say you're playing Stapleford and get 39 points. You think, oh, I could have a chance today if someone comes in with 52. Like, it's that much of a difference, isn't it? Like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, the podcast reached many a corner last week. First, I've got an email from one of the members of the team who wasn't massively impressed that I was calling his team Chiefs, which is quite ironic because that turned out to be... person who might have been cheated. The organiser then the next day messaged me saying, listen, Rick, I've listened to your podcast and I thought, you know what, I've got to look into this team because you are right, 112 points. Weirdly, I don't know why it ended up coming 109 points, I think you said, in the end.
Yeah, I know why, but I'll leave that for now.
So let's call it 109 points, I think it was, in the end. So this Robbie thought, you know what, I need to quiz this because it is a ridiculous score and I didn't think much of it, but after listening to the podcast I needed to figure something out. So Robbie rang the members of the team and he said to the team, three of the guys that he knew, you know, how did you play? You must have played really well to shoot 109, and they were off 20 odd handicaps, and you know, one of them said, oh, I played all right, I didn't play great. He said, well, on the scorecard here you're down for 10 pars. And the guy on the phone who said, well, didn't have 10 pars yesterday. He went, oh, right. Why is that on the scorecard? No idea. Rang the next person. I believe you played well yesterday. He went, not really. I didn't play great. Oh, right. Round here, you had 5 pars in a row. I didn't have 5 pars in a row. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. It says on the scorecard you did. Anyway, next person rings up, say a similar story. So Robbie was like, well, hold on. How is this happening? How are these guys saying that they didn't play that well? How is there now scores on the scorecard that are much lower? So he rang the last person, and the last person kind of said that he might have put the scores down wrong on the card, but quite badly wrong on the scorecards. Either way, cheating took place, and I think it was really bad for a charity golf day. So Robbie, who organised it, felt quite, like, I don't know, embarrassed to some degree. Felt quite, you know, just not nice. It's not a nice feeling. So we had to go round to each of the individuals' houses, pick up the prizes. So we had to pick up I think it was a golf bag that they all won, and give it to second team. We disqualified the first team for putting the wrong scores in. What was sad about that is three of the guys in the team didn't know they put the wrong scores in, let's say, because one guy typically in a format like that does all the scorecards, and it was that one particular guy who emailed me, not happy that I was calling his team a golf cheat, but it seemed like it was him himself who was potentially fudging the numbers a little bit. So either way, I feel somewhat happy that we we really went hard on it last week, and we called
it. It was more the fact that it was a charity day. I think you know, you go to a charity day, and it also would have been the first one in memory of Chris as well. You know, you go to a charity day to firstly to have fun, remember the person. Well, firstly to raise money for whatever the cause may be, to have fun, and also, you know, if there's family members in attendance of the person who it's in memory of, to kind of let them see how many people that person reached and have some, you know, for them to, I know it's not going to make anything any better, but to have some smiles and some fun and, you know, if you can. And I think to have people then cheat for the sake of a prize, or allegedly cheat, you know, whatever it might be,
cheat,
but for a prize, it is a bit low, but...
Yeah, so I think it's really bad. I think, like I say, I'm glad that last week we really went out on a limb and I called them, because to do that score, cheating, whichever way it would have happened, whether it was false handicaps, whether it was writing the wrong scores down, or, you know, giving gimmies or whatever it may be, there was some cheating there that got them to 112 points. Either way, I'm glad things got rectified. I'm glad that team got disqualified, which is a shame, because I don't think three of the guys massively knew what was going on. They were just walking home with a golf bag after not playing that well, thinking, have I won today? But either way, I think it's a bit naughty, and I'm glad Robbie's got it sorted, and I'm glad second place got their bags. We'll have to investigate that team next.
Rick Shields investigates.
How far do we have to get down before we win?
Yeah, if you beat us, it's proven you cheat. So, on that note, we've got a nice, I think we're going to start this every week at the start of the podcast, like a nice news or nice email.
Yes.
Obviously, this isn't the start of the podcast, which from Adam Jones, and I've actually, because it was quite heartfelt, if you like, I actually messaged him back to say, are we okay doing this email out? And he said, yes, that's great. So, titled it Appreciation Email, just got me attention, and then put Hi Guy and Rich, also got me attention. Love the podcast and follow all your socials that provide endless entertainment given today's world problems. I know you would get endless emails, and I would like to share one with what the Rich Shields channel has done for me over the past 12 months. I returned to golf after a 7-year absence. I'm now 26, after randomly stumbling across the Golf of the Challenges series on YouTube that I absolutely love. After sitting and watching these videos for hours, I then hit my dad up for around our old local course for the first time in 7 years. So straight away you're thinking, that's cool, how like he has watched the video, got in touch with his, well, messaged dad or whatever, rung his dad, and then gone and played golf with him. That's cool. I dusted off the clubs and went round in 94 and was absolutely chuffed with that. Which is, to be fair, after 7 years, it's decent. Kept watching the Rick Shields YouTube channel, watching tips, etc., to where I was confident enough to join my own club as a member. This couldn't have come at a better time, as it gave me a chance to forget about what was going on in my personal life. I had pretty bad depression and anxiety, as well as losing my grandfather to a 5-week battle of severely aggressive bone, stomach and brain cancer. So it's obviously a terrible time there for Adam. He was my best mate and it shook my family hard, but I always knew that a round of golf was always my way of escaping reality. Fast forward to now, and I cut them down for 7 handicap, and we're using a new handicap system here in Australia. And I've completely transformed my golf by simply following the channel and putting into practice what you teach. I personally would love to let you know, Rick, I'd first like to thank you, Rick, for the escape that your channel's allowed me to have over the past 12 months, as well as dropping my handicap and allowing me to have better mental... It didn't quite make sense, but allowing me to have a better good brain, but I know what he means. I wish you guys a great rest of the year and keep up the good work. As you never know exactly who you're helping out and in what way.
Wow.
That was a lovely email, wasn't it?
Adam, thank you so much. Thanks for the email. It's amazing. Like I say, hearing everything you're going through, that we can hopefully take your mind off it, get you back into golf. And thank you so much for the email. It's really appreciated. And it's a nice, lovely, lovely story.
100%. I'm sure people know sometimes jest about numbers and things like that. People, I saw a comment the other day on your Instagram, Rick. Someone said, oh, I love the podcast, Rick, but, you know, stop talking about numbers and figures. And we do it with a bit of tongue in cheek, because we know the people listening to this know that we just joke about, and we do appreciate, I know you do, Rick, everyone that listens and certainly watches the videos. But those kind of emails, I know it sounds a bit corny, but they do make it worthwhile. We're just sat here chilling in a podcast, people actually listen to it, and you forget sometimes that, and some of the videos we film, and we know that we obviously, and Rick, was a lot of effort into them, But when they actually get him inspired to take up the game and ring his dad and go out for a game of golf, like, you forget that, don't you? Like,
yeah, it's the best. It really is.
You do appreciate those emails.
And it's dead funny with the podcast as well, because I listened to something the other day when anybody stopped us and complimented on the podcast, it's like, oh, you like it? It's like, because in a weird way with the podcast, there's no instant feedback. Oh. Like, with the videos, there's comments, there's likes. With the podcast, it's like, we record it, we upload it, and it's kind of just out. Yeah. You know, there's no massive feedback. So any emails that you send, nice messages like that, are definitely appreciated. And it means that we're not sat here 50-odd minutes just chit-chatting for no reason.
So we've got a couple of things to fire through, Rick. Should we do that? Are we thinking we should get to what we are now?
51.
Should we get to an hour?
Let's do it.
Right. So another question for you then, Rick. And Mark wants to hear your expert opinion.
Imagine if someone's just arrived at work now and they're like, damn.
I know, it's going to be that the last section's always the best.
You can like catch this up at lunch.
This is a dessert. So Mark Stiles has asked us, I'm very much a beginner at golf. Took it up mainly to occasionally play with my father-in-law and a few mates. However, during lockdown, I've become increasingly more interested in the sport thanks to Rick's content and other channels, which are, such as Bad Golf and as Tubes. So fair dues, good to the channels there that he likes. Having felt my driving game would benefit from an upgrade, I purchased a Benross V5 for about £30 on eBay. However, on the last nine-hole round, I noticed a crack across the driver, and it's actually broken, I think. So now he's saying, I like how he's given us some options. He said, I was wondering what you guys would do, okay? So A, go to eBay and buy a cheap second-hand again.
Okay.
B, go to a retailer, e.g. American Golf, whatever, and buy a used club. C, go all out and buy brand new. Or D, this is a try as look, email the most popular golf podcast and hope they hook you up with a driver. Brackets, just joking. So what we say, A, B or C? It's hard, isn't it?
It's budget, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because let's say, so he spent £30 on that one from eBay.
Yeah.
He's probably now going to branch out and spend a bit more. You'd imagine.
Let's say up to £100.
Let's say for round figures, he's going to go like, I'm going to step it up, I'm going to go to £100. If you were to buy brand new for £100, you're not going to get anything. You're going to get a golf club. Yes. You'd easily be able to go to Sports Direct.
Yeah,
and you might have seen
that's where you're going,
a video that I've done in the past where we bought a £20 driver and yet you can buy a driver for £20. Yes. But you can also buy one for £100. Brand new from Sports
Direct. I think, to be honest, that would be the only reason. I don't think they've got anything for £100 brand new in American Golf.
Well, like, what was that RBZ Black that we tested? Was that £120?
Yeah, still.
So, but that, again, it was a nice driver, don't get me wrong. But for £100 now, you can definitely buy, like, for me, if I was looking for that, I'd buy a really classic.
Just got my headphones off.
I'd buy a really classic Ping G5 driver, let's say.
That's what I was thinking of.
It's weird. Like, Ping G5 driver. It's been around for a while now, probably 10 years. In fact, would it have been longer? G5?
G5 came out in 2008.
So, like, 12 years old. You can still pick them up online. You can get them from, like, GolfBidder or eBay and whatever. And they're really reliable drivers. You're going to get a really good quality, the right material. R&D's gone into it, everything. And you can spend £100.
So, 2005, that was my bad.
I actually thought that, but I thought that's too long ago.
Really? That does feel like I remember going and getting fitted for one when I was driving and I wasn't driving at that. Anyway, it must have been.
G5.
I'm in a G10, that's my bad.
The orange one.
G10, sorry,
G5. I'm thinking G5.
Yeah.
Like, that might be too old, I must admit. G5 might be too old.
Let's go G10 then.
G10. Like, 10 years old, and it's, you know, it's one of those drivers that you just know you're going to get a good driver. Loads of research, R&D, it's been tested, it's been proven, it's won tournaments out on tour. Not that that makes a massive difference. You can't get fitted for it, yes, but to be honest, at around £100, I don't think you can get fitted for anything, if I'm honest. Then going back to your next option, do I buy something brand new? Like I say, you've really got to. I mean, what would be the cheapest quality driver?
What, brand new?
Cobra? £350?
Well,
no. You might get some sales on last year's products.
Yeah.
So maybe £250.
There's possibly some kind of brands that specialise in more budget equipment, if you like. It's just, how does the performance of that measure up to something that's 3 years old? It's still, I feel like places like Clubhouse Golf are quite good for having, like, you might get like a Cobra F8, for example, for 160 quid.
They've got loads of stock left and they're just trying to get shut of it. And you could still get fitted for a brand new if they've got options. You might not get loads of options, but you might be able to get dialed in with loft and weights and everything else. There's no right and wrong, to be honest.
It's all budget, isn't it?
That's all about budget.
I've had loads of friends start golf recently, which I made up about, I'll say loads, three or four.
Listen to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
Yeah, well, three or four friends to me is loads. I've only got seven. I'm joking. Loads.
I've definitely got loads.
But when people ask me what club should they get, but the first question I always ask, I don't mean to sound rude or intrusive, but how much do you want to spend? Because if you've, let's just say you've had a bonus from work or you've won a couple hundred quid on a lottery, whatever it might be, and you want to spend 2.5 grand, you could go out and get literally everything Ping or Callaway or whatever fitted up and have them for 10, 15, 20, well, forever if you wanted to. If, however, you want to spend 500 quid, which is a lot of money still, then you might be better going for either something like the Costco Callaway set or really getting something old but's good. But you need advice off friends for that or something. Because for 500 quid, if you gave me 500 quid now to get a good package, a good starter set for somebody, I'd go on GolfBidder or go on eBay and find some quite chunky old ping guy.
It's like the GolfBidder challenge.
Exactly the same. But imagine a golf novice walking into a shop with like GolfBidder 500
quid. No idea.
They wouldn't have a clue.
You'd like to think you could pick up the phone because they have a HQ GolfBidder and get some advice, but I don't know if they offer that service. I'll tell you what, it'd be a business. It could be a business where you literally give golf club advice, but I don't know how much money you'd then be able to charge.
What you could
on top
do
of that.
You could email podcast@richshields.com
and get a half-hearted answer.
Half-hearted answer, or you could send me direct PayPal of $15.99 and I'll give you advice on what to buy.
There you go.
I cannot do that, but do your emails with the odd question and we'll
really get $15.99 is too cheap. We'll go higher.
Yeah, right, okay. Then lastly, I think, Rick, let's end it on this. We've had a couple of emails in for Listener of the Week, but they were quite late. Listener of the Week is, I'm sure you guys know already, but if you're new to the show, it's where we give someone a shout out who is a hardcore fan of the podcast
section.
And Listener of the Week has got several criteria, which Rick knows well and Rick thinks is great. You have to email a podcast, what's the email address, Rick?
podcast@rickshields.com.
Exactly. You have got to start the email with,
"Hi, Guy and Rick."
Of course you have. And then you've got to subscribe to Rick or follow on like every platform. So we're talking the usuals, the Instas, the TikToks, potentially if you've got TikToks, it's not essential. But your Facebooks, your YouTube, obviously. Everything that you're on. Like, we don't necessarily expect to start an account on Twitter, let's say, to follow Rick.
You don't have to follow me on, like, LinkedIn or anything.
But if you do, it gets absolute bonus. The more, the merrier, essentially. So if you follow on every single platform, you will get Listener of the Week. It's that simple. But this week, we were clutching at straws, really. We didn't really have anyone sent in an email. I'll be honest. So we did a little thing on the Instagram page last night, which is @TheRickShieldsGolfShow. And said, if you share this post onto your own feed, we will pick someone to be Listener of the Week. And we have picked, bear with me, I've lost him already. One sec. I've just had his name up and everything then, and I've lost it. Ryan Travis.
There you go, Ryan.
So, Ryan, I'm sorry that you didn't get a better kind of intro than that, as I forgot your name as I was doing it. That's my bad. It's Ryan, and you know why he got it as well, Ryan? Did you see this?
Go on.
So, not only did he screenshot the post, we just did a little post of the podcast on Apple, and he reposted it, and then dead small, like really, really small, he just put Guy plus 12 yards. Like dead small, which weirdly, I liked it more. You had to see it, I'll send you in a minute.
What's his name again? Ryan?
Ryan Travis. So his actual app name, I'll just show you now.
I'm trying to look for it. I've just logged in.
Have you logged in? You should find it.
That's funny. Should we share it onto the Rick Shield podcast?
Yeah, I've screenshotted it now. And I'll do a little circle around his guy 12 yards. So that's funny. Quite cool.
That's so good. And we'll share it. So if you want to see that, that hilarious fact that Guy hits it minimum 12 yards past me, go and check out the Rick Shield podcast. Instagram. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast this week. It's been a great episode. We've been action-packed. It's great that Investigator Shields has been sniffing out potential golf cheats. And I'm glad you've enjoyed the show, everybody. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. You've got to watch the video that I do with Leo. I think it's going to be amazing. He is such a character. Make sure you go and follow him on his Instagram as well. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me in your home.
No problem. You can put your shoes on now. Right?
I'm off it. I felt bad after a while. And we'll see you all next week. Peace out.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.